Good morning, everyone. It's Maria Recruit, host and producer of the series On the Ground with Boots Running. And this is all part of the Real Estate Media News Network that you can find on YouTube. This is our radio series, and it's my pleasure to introduce to you today Mr. Chris Seepy, who is the president of the Association of Durham. Welcome, Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
Very well, thank you. And I'd also like to introduce my co-host, John Wilson, is the president of the Near North Landlords Association. And John, we caught you at a good time, have we?
Yeah, finally no emergencies, I'm good to go.
Wonderful. Okay then. So I'm very curious to know, Chris, what made you decide to start your Landlords Association?
Well, the irony is I don't even live in Durham. I live in Vaughan. And when I bought my first building, which was in Oshawa, Durham region, I had met with a number of other landlords. And the short version of that long story is I suggested to them that they start a landlord association. And one of the fellows said that they had tried that a decade ago and it didn't work out. And all the landlords ever did was complain about legal issues. And I said, well, if you start one, I would be your first member. And they said, well, if you start it, we'll be your first members. So, you know, one thing led to another. I started it. The mayor then, John Henry of Oshawa, attended our inaugural meeting. And that was in 2012, January 2012.
Okay.
And I've been running it ever since.
Wonderful. And, you know, that's what I found. And I think John will agree with me. You just need one person to start it. And kudos to you and congratulations that you have your group now as many years as you have. So it's 6 years going on 7 years. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's what I found in Niagara, the same thing. I started the Niagara Landlords Association 4 years ago. And I started because nobody else wanted to start it. And the other associations had closed up shop. And I thought, we need to speak to one another. We need to share ideas, have guest speakers. So that's why I started my group. And John, tell us when you started yours.
Well, it wasn't really, it's been started. It was started way back almost 20 years ago, but has been pretty much in a dormant state.
Yes.
I was approached in February at a tribunal hearing by one of the members who was hoping to activate it again. So I attended the meeting, and the next thing I know, here I am.
And that's how it is in North Bay. I guess things happen that way, right?
Well, yeah, our changing scene up here and all across Ontario actually required that it be reactivated and become very active and proactive.
Very strong, and you have a very strong association up there, and we hear about you in the press all the time, and that's the thing that's been missing, is that no one really knows our stories, and that's why I started this series, so people, landlords, real estate investors and landowners can hear that there is groups out there, such as Chris's in the Durham region, you in North Bay, and I had the pleasure of speaking to Ray, and he's from Sudbury, and we have, I believe there's 15 presidents that we know of, right, that are in the Ontario area that we're starting to network with. So, Chris, I know you have a very pressing issue with General Motors closing up in Oshawa, so please tell us what this is going to mean for property owners, real estate investors, landlords, and landowners.
Well, obviously, that's a highly subjective answer depending on where you sit in the economic scale, if you will.
Yes.
Obviously, the families of General Motors are super concerned. The unions are saying we won't allow it. There's a movement going on that says save GM.
Yes.
And as a landlord and a property owner, I'm saying don't save GM.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Explain that.
I'm going to explain first. We had this past Monday, mm-hmm. the new mayor of Oshawa, Mr. Dan Carter, mm-hmm. He's just been recently elected. He pulled together an emergency gathering, I guess, if you will, of stakeholders from the greater Oshawa area and did a presentation for an hour. Yes. He spoke for about half an hour, and then he had his economic development person speak for about half an hour. And, you know, to be candid, I'm known to be that way, sometimes too blunt, but it was a mixed message. Mm-hmm. The mayor said that he's going to do everything he can to rally the troops and try and protect the jobs and make things happen. He's been getting phone calls from all over the world. From people who want to take up the 9 million square feet of advanced automotive assembly capability that are in those plants. They're among the most advanced in the world. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't understand why General Motors was shutting down this particular plant when it has always been so hugely profitable.
Yes.
By comparison to other plants in Canada and around the world. Mm-hmm. Having said that, his economic development person then said, it's not going to bother us. It's not going to impact us. Meaning Oshawa, city council, you know, politicians of that time, were anticipating that this might happen one day sooner or later. Now, I'm putting words into his mouth.
Yes.
By saying that, but effectively he was saying that manufacturing in Oshawa only represents 9% of the total GDP. For the region, and that the loss of jobs won't be all in Oshawa. It's across, they have what they call it, a reach, if you will. Mm-hmm. There are people that are driving for an hour or an hour and a half from other communities to come into Oshawa. So it's not going to be just Oshawa that would be impacted by job loss. But then he went on to say that, healthcare represents 18% okay. of their total GDP. Retail trade is 14%, and educational services are 10%. Now, he didn't say this, but I know for a fact that Oshawa, which has a population of about 160,000, is the only city of its size in North America that has 4 university campuses.
Oh, wow.
Which means we have an incredibly strong, skilled labor base that you would not find in other cities of this size. So it's mm-hmm. highly attractive. And we have other industries like nuclear science and IT and biopharmaceuticals. Oshawa also has an international airport. Most people don't know that.
No, we don't.
They think it's a community or regional airport, but it's not. You can actually fly anywhere in the continental U.S. The runways are long enough to service aircraft that can fly as far as Atlanta, Georgia. So you could clear customs into the States through the Oshawa airport. So
wow.
We've got a lot. There's a lot going for the city, in other words. Now, as a landlord, this may be a little bit, one-sided or even mercenary in perspective. But I think that as blue-collar, gray-collar jobs are lost. I see automotive assembly line operations as a sunset skill set. As a consequence, I would much rather see white collar jobs, doctors, engineers, surveyors, research scientists. We have world-class research testing facilities in Oshawa. And all these things combined means that one day as a landlord, I may be able to increase the rent so I can reinvest that money to build out and refurbish or renovate my 60-year-old properties. Oshawa mm-hmm. is the second, I'm sorry, I'm just rambling on.
That's okay, no, keep going. No, okay. It's useful information. Keep going.
So 87% of all the purpose-built apartment buildings in Ontario mm-hmm. were built before 1980, which means the youngest purpose-built apartment buildings are almost 50, well, are over 50 years old.
Wow.
So all of these buildings are desperate need of repair. And it's really tough when you've got rent controls of 1.8% to invest the capital costs that are necessary to refurbish these properties.
I agree.
So I'm hoping that as more and more white-collar jobs become available, we will have the financial resources to reinvest back into the buildings to create a higher quality lifestyle, if you will, in those properties and re-energize them.
Well, and so
you're talking, Chris, about getting into major renos to up the quality level?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%. Yep. Yep. Well, if the market permits, right? Obviously, if you know, if there's a huge supply and no demand, then rents aren't going to rise. But with the way the market is in Ontario in particular, mm-hmm. Especially Durham and the Greater Toronto area, we are now the most, we have the highest critical housing shortage in the country.
Good point.
What's your vacancy there, Chris?
Sorry, go ahead.
What's your vacancy rate there?
In Oshawa? Well, if you talk to CMHC, they'll tell me that it's around 1.5%. But I'm telling you, as feet on the ground, in mm-hmm. the trenches, that I have anywhere between 30 and 40 inquiries every time I have a vacancy. I have, on average, 5 to 6 applications for every vacancy. And that tells me that the vacancy is a hell of a lot lower than CMHC thinks it is.
Yeah, I've always found that CMHC, they also take into that's a little distorted in that they use the slumlord, the garbage vacancies as well as part of their analysis.
Okay.
But quality residential is what really establishes a true vacancy rate, right?
Absolutely. And vacancy is at an all-time low, as far as I'm concerned. The number one out of 565 municipalities that are being tracked, the number one lowest vacancy is Richmond Hill. And then Markham, then Toronto. Durham's around 35-ish, Oshawa. Mm-hmm. There's a site that I visited recently in the last couple of weeks, and it's the only reason I remember the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And how is it in North Bay, John? I can talk to you about what's happening down here in Niagara, but what does it look like in North Bay vacancy rates?
Well, in North Bay, the decent accommodation vacancy rate is very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
The vacancy rate as established with all available, including, you know, grubby basement apartments, is about 2.5% right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a particular time of year when the vacancy rate actually accelerates because we pull all of our rentals. We have three one-bedrooms and 1-2 on the market right now. Mm-hmm. We pull them off for the month of December. People don't move in December,
yeah,
so we don't waste staff time showing the tire kickers
mm-hmm,
and the people that would never qualify anyhow.
Yeah.
What's happened in North Bay is that our tenancy quality has deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
That has happened in Oshawa as well.
Same in Niagara. I'll tell you, we had CMHC come and speak to us in January of 2018, this year, and they said that our vacancy rate in Niagara was 1.5%. And mm-hmm. I must say that, you know, we can find really good tenants, but I have to go through 100 people sending in or calling me up asking about our rentals. So I go through a lot of people before I decide on the right person. I just don't pick anyone anymore. It's too dangerous, actually, as a landlord.
100%. And yes. In fact, it's socially irresponsible to have a vacancy in this time when you've got a housing crisis. But I've had one unit that was empty for 2 months because mm-hmm. out of the 60 applications, not inquiries and multiple yeah. applications, not one of them met the criteria that I need to be satisfied that they will help me meet my own obligations, obviously the mortgage.
Yes,
right? But just also looking after the place.
I feel the same way, exactly the same way, Chris.
Yeah, I have a 22-point screening process.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you.
I've actually had guarantors whose credit scores were lower than the applicant.
Me too.
So.
Oh, well, just getting back to General Motors. How many
sure.
jobs will be lost, the blue-collar jobs in General Motors? What are the numbers?
I've heard the numbers between 2,300 and 2,500.
Okay.
Does that include the ripple effect, Chris?
No, that's only the workers in General Motors. Then there's about another 700 from ancillary businesses, I think, management and others.
Mm-hmm. What about the supporting industries? Is there going to be a retooling issue there?
Well, there would only be retooling if there was an industry that they were moving towards that they put their sights on. And I think the issue that the mayor has to face is what will be the best use of that premium land. That 9 million square feet is all service land, and service land is really, really tough to find and very expensive to, to add the infrastructure, whether it's roads, electricity, gas, water, sewer, and so on. So, and we've been talking around the issue of the housing crisis, but the mayor, Dan Carter, actually was homeless at one point in his life.
Interesting.
And and there's an article, a story on him on the CBC, I think it is, that talked about his life. So his number one agenda is, he's told me, because he's invited me to join one of his task forces for Oshawa, is his number one agenda item is to get rid of the slumlords, and his number two is to solve the housing, or address, not solve, but address the housing crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So
those are two big problems.
Well, it's a huge problem, but he's got 9 million square feet, and they have, they being Durham, have over 6,000 families that are waiting for affordable housing.
Oh my goodness.
So could that 9 million square feet be used for emergency shelters, for example, temporary housing? Because right now they're using every hotel that they can find, right? Every motel, and they're spilling out into Scarborough to find these things.
So you mean the actual physical plant they vacate? The actual, the GM plant as it now exists, the shell, reconverted?
Yeah. Well, I'm throwing that out as an idea, and I have a meeting in late January with the mayor, and I'll ask if that's feasible. I mean, maybe it's not, but, some of the mindset of or the conventional wisdom of affordable housing gurus is to build facilities that have movable walls so that you can accommodate different needs. You know, a family comes in for 6 months and you need three bedrooms. And another time you've got a single mom who needs one bedroom, and you just move the walls accordingly.
So you're talking about modulars.
Yeah, modulars.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is, well, it's to address a crisis which requires immediate action. You can't wait 7 years for somebody to build an apartment building through the development cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm throwing this out as, you know, is this an option? I wouldn't say use up all the space for that purpose. There are so many other, you know, potential uses for it. Maybe you bring in electric cars. You know, Elon Musk might be a phone call that should be made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bring in Tesla.
I agree. I have a question for you. Okay, so instead of us keep building housing, right, because this is what it sounds to me like, we're in crisis mode, what about mm-hmm. getting jobs? So we wouldn't have to have all these people on social assistance, but actually out there working, producing, being part of the tax system. What about that?
That's a kind of chicken and egg question. You need the jobs in order to justify the housing. You need the housing to put these people into.
Yes.
When 3 years ago when they announced that they were going to refurbish the nuclear reactors at Darlington. Mm-hmm. They talked about the 6,000 jobs that was going to create. And while I was at that announcement, I asked them, so where are these people going to live?
Yes.
And the answer was nobody had thought of it. I mean, that was, they danced around the answer, but the reality was that no one's building purpose-built rental property. So the only available option that was talked about was build more condos.
Yes.
Well, with condos now under rent control up until a couple of weeks ago, and who knows if that won't be rescinded with the next political party, so developers are, you know, kind of gun-shy about that.
Yes.
The Liberal government says we're putting all properties under rent control, and then the Tory government comes in and says, no, we're not going to do that for any new properties, but by the time new properties get built, you can have another government in there that says, no, we're going to do it again.
Yes, I know.
And Tory said during the campaign that they would rescind the Liberals' removal of the rent controls from the 1990 builds, remember?
Right. They never did. Yes. They only went halfway, obviously, right?
Yes.
So, well, and that's the problem with Ontario is that there's 4.5 million renters and there's 50,000 landlords. Mm-hmm. So who are the politicians going to pander to?
What did I say the last podcast, my dear?
Of course it is. We'll be talking about that. But the other thing, too, is if landlords would welcome people to live with them, if only the people would behave themselves, but they get away with destroying a property and not paying rent. So people are becoming more and more gun shy. I mean, I'm talking to landlords all the time. They're saying, hey, I'm getting out of a long-term rental business because the person owes me $14,000, hasn't paid rent for 8 months. I'm going to go into the short-term rentals instead. So of course we're going to lose that supply. Wouldn't you agree?
So there are two parts to that answer. The first is that tenant advocates will spout out the statistic that 98.5% of all tenants pay their rent. So you're really only talking about 1.5% of the tenants who don't pay. So what are the landlords screaming about? Well, that's because they've never been a landlord, and that would take a half hour just to explain how idiotic that argument is.
Yes.
The other half of the answer is that the Residential Tenancies Act, which governs the relationship between landlords and tenants in Ontario, is brutal against landlords and tenants would say it's brutal against tenants.
Yes.
But my answer to every tenant is the following. At the last count, and my last count would have been before the Rent Fairness Act came in, there are 46 breaches that could possibly be done by a landlord or tenant under the RTA. Mm-hmm. Out of those 46, 34 uniquely benefit the tenant, uniquely. In other words, it's to the detriment of the landlord.
Yes.
There are another 10 that are mutually beneficial. In other words, the landlord and the tenant cannot change the lock without, you know, the other's permission, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At least two. And out of the two, one uniquely benefits the landlord, which says that a landlord has the right after 24 hours advance written notice to enter the unit, whether the tenant likes it or not.
Yes.
So that's a unique benefit. That means one out of 46 breaches is uniquely beneficial to the landlord, which leaves one unaccounted for, and it has nothing to do with landlords, and it has nothing to do with tenants, but it's in the RTA. And that one says a landlord and tenant cannot evict or chase off a canvassing politician who's looking for votes. That's into the RTA.
Just to add, that's right. It's called the solicitation law. Chris, just the one that is in favor only of landlords that a tenant can't refuse your right of entry can be challenged. Because
what
they did then have to apply through the LTB to get an order to enter.
There is another option that most landlords aren't aware of. Mm-hmm. In the Ministry of Housing, there's an 18-person department called the Rental Housing Enforcement Unit.
Yes.
And the word enforcement actually has teeth. They can take a landlord or tenant to court to enforce an element of the RTA. And they will respond and usually conclude any claim within 48 hours.
That's very good.
Yes. And landlords can use them, but they don't know about it. They only know about the LTB, and the LTB takes 5 months.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So I always encourage anybody that calls me, call the RHEU first and see if they will. The only thing they won't act on is rent collection.
Okay.
They'll act on any other, because rent collection is actually not in the RTA.
No?
No.
Nope. It's common. It's part of contract law. It's not part of the RTA proper. It says that you have to pay the rent on the first. You have to pay by check, and you have to pay by means equally agreed to between both landlord and tenant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's silent on anything to do with if the tenant doesn't pay the rent.
Interesting.
So the RTU has no enforcement authority to deal with it, and they wouldn't want to anyway.
No, that's a can of worms. Can you repeat that department again so all landlords know about this? What is it called?
The Rental Housing Enforcement Unit, RHEU, and the LTB is part of the Social Justice Tribunal. I think there's five in the group.
There's nine in total.
I'm talking about the social portion. I know there's eight or nine. But I think there's five in this particular group that share the same budget, you know, the same funds.
Okay.
I don't know enough to answer that, but whatever it is, they're part of the Department of Justice.
Whereas
the RHEU is part of the Ministry of Housing.
And I would point out that there is no staffing of that unit in Northern Ontario.
Well, yes, I've heard that too.
Okay, so where would they look for the number to call up? I mean, like, if somebody in St. Catharines, say, needs to get in touch with this department, where would they find that phone number?
Go on the internet.
Is that posted on the LTB site, is it not?
Not that I'm aware of. Let me take a step back. What I believe has happened is that when a landlord calls 311 or 411, I think it's 311 for all the government services.
Okay.
And they say, I'm a landlord and I have a problem. Then they give them the LTB phone number.
Yes.
When a tenant calls up and says, I have a problem, they give the RHEU phone number. And the reason I believe this is because RHEU's processes about 25,000 phone calls a year. And 85% of those phone calls are from tenants. Only 15% are from landlords. So I'm trying to figure out, how is it possible that all the tenants would know this when they don't even know their basic rights under the law? And I'm guessing that's because they're either doing online searches,
mm-hmm.
and all you have to do is look in Rental Housing Enforcement Unit, Ontario, and the website will come up and the phone number will come up. But there's got to be some, I don't know, influence that is directing landlords in one direction and
yes.
tenants in another. And I think that's what it is. It's the, you know, the telephone information service.
I love that. I mean, I want to share this. I mean, we should be shouting this from the rooftops for the landlords to go.
100% yes. they should be. Yes. I've used the RHEU effectively in a tenant who had chain locks on their door and said, I'm not giving you the key.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you don't give me the key, you know, then we're going to have a problem. And she said, well, you don't have the right. So rather than get into a protracted, you know, debate or worse, I stick the RHEU on her and they read her the Riot Act. And she actually decided to remove the chain rather than give me the key.
Yes. And you know what? I'm reading on Facebook, because I'm on all the social media sites, guys. And I'm going to some landlords' sites where they're talking about the problems they have with the tenant, not allowing them to enter after 24 hours, calling them all kinds of names. They need to know about this Rental Housing Enforcement Unit. And I really thank you, Chris, for all that information. That's fantastic.
Yeah, my pleasure.
and you're
welcome.
John, did you want to add anything more here?
No, not at all. I just wish it was staffed up here because I know what Chris is referring to. We've heard of them before. The issue is, of course, they then have to investigate, and sometimes they have to investigate locally. So we take more than 24 hours up here, Chris. But yeah, you're right. It is the shortcut way if you have an issue of entry.
Well, they say that only 10% actually lead to prosecution. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So out of that 25,000, 2,500, you know, have to take further action. They claim that they resolve most of those issues within 48 hours with a phone call and or a follow-up letter.
Fantastic.
So you may not be able to solve every problem in North Bay or Sudbury, but I'm sure you could solve some.
Yep, absolutely, you could. Yeah. Absolutely. And I just checked the Social Justice Tribunals of Ontario site, and you're right, it isn't listed there.
It isn't.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, it is not.
It is not. Can so landlords looking for help.
Can you do me a favor, John or Chris? Send me the link to that, because when I post this radio show, I want to post it there for landlords. And then when I share this radio show, which I do on all my social media sites, including YouTube, I want that in there for landlords to start using. Let's start shaking things up here, because the way it's going right now, it's not even fair what's going on.
Yeah, no question.
You're absolutely right. And that is one of the reasons why people like Chris and myself and Ray Goulet and others have banded together to work together provincially to get some of the fairness and the balance back into this Residential Tenancy Act and balance back into our industry.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah,
100%. 100%. And I look forward to hearing more about the President's Association in the new year. But I want to thank you very much, Chris and John, for being my guest today. We had Chris Sepik from the President of the Landlords Association of Durham as my guests. And I also had my co-host, John Wilson, President of the Near North Landlords Association out of North Bay. Thank you, gentlemen, for being my guests. And I will be calling upon you next year to do many more radio shows. We have so many topics to talk about. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And it's a pleasure, Maria.
My pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. Take care. Bye now. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.